Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're going to talk about The Suicide Squad, the newest one from 2021 by James Gunn. Let's go. Let's talk about the Suicide Squad.
We had a quick turnaround whenever we did the Brightburn movie. We watched it and we went back to my house and recorded. This time we watched at Alex's house and I already had the stuff set up. So yeah. I haven't even had time to think about the movie yet.
Yeah, 10 minutes ago we were watching a movie. I have somewhere to be afterwards, so we're going to get this one in. One chapter, no comic book talk nonsense today.
Oh, but I have so many things to... I'm just kidding.
This is a movie podcast. We just watched it. That was my second time.
Before we go on, yes, big time spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't watched the movie yet, get yourself HBO Max or go to the movie theater. Is that in the theaters?
Yes.
Okay. You got options. Yeah. Then come back. All we're going to talk about this episode is The Suicide Squad. So if you don't want to get spoiled, go watch it and come back.
Yep. This was mine and Torrance's second viewing, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and then Drew is your first viewing.
That's right.
Cool.
I have HBO Max.
Let's start with you then. What'd you think?
It was fun.
I guess this is another disclaimer. This is a spicy movie.
Yeah.
It's very rated R. They kind of lean into the violence quite a bit. I mean, it is what it is unapologetically. So if that's not your cup of tea,
yeah,
we might describe some of that stuff. So be prepared.
No, I enjoyed it. It had I felt like the right level of humor to balance it out. It felt like the other, I can't even remember how funny the last two were. And I'm counting Birds of Prey in with
the other.
I mean, Birds of Prey, I felt like had some serious humor in it.
Now, I liked the original just Suicide Squad. So that's the difference between this one and the other one is the word "the" is in the new one. Mm-hmm. Will Smith Suicide Squad, I enjoyed.
I did too.
That is not the popular consensus though. I think a lot of people were like, no,
I didn't care for it.
Yeah. I have even though I liked it, and I've said before that this is likely due to the fact that I'm a Will Smith fanboy, there were definitely moments in it that I was like, dang it, I get why people don't like it because of things like that. This new movie, The Suicide Squad, was void of those for me. I truly enjoyed it, and I think it's one of DC's strongest movies.
Yeah, I mean, it was just... And I talked to Alex. He felt like it was a pretty good standalone, and I concur. It felt like, and they gave, like, if you knew nothing about anything of the DCEU, they gave enough at the beginning. I feel like that this could be a jumping on point if you wanted to watch DC movies and you were okay with some spiciness.
Yeah, that's true. You don't even have to have really a context for what the Suicide Squad is. Like, you do not have to... be familiar with the first. Although I will say, having that familiarity with the original characters that also appeared in this one does help.
It also made that first scene hit a little harder.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm trying to decide like where to attack this from. It's okay. I have one minor complaint. Let's get that out of the way right away. They essentially more or less copy and pasted the Will Smith Deadshot character with the Idris Elba Bloodsport character.
Yeah.
In almost every way. Aside from the fact that they're very similar characters, like the father in prison who is doing this Suicide Squad thing to make sure that his daughter's okay, like literally copy-paste. So that was kind of a weird decision for me, just the fact that James Gunn's been so vocal about how this is not... He has claimed that this is not a sequel, this is its own thing, even though there are like a history established and even acknowledged by some of the characters. Like when Harley gets on the jet at the beginning, she's like, boomerang, or, you know, Rick Flag dies at the end of this and Harley's talking about how she was his friend. And maybe you could pretend like, oh yeah, she establishes friendship through this. But there's obvious history, not only with them, but also with, what's her name, the woman in charge of everything.
Waller,
she basically has this history with Flag, and it's it's a kind of a been there, done that thing. So even though some of the creatives on this team, including the guy kind of running the show, claim that this is its own thing, it definitely leans on, I think, a little bit of the past of what you've seen before, mm-hmm. like in the movie. What did you think about Starro being the big bad?
I don't know if I, and I'm a big Doom Patrol fan, and this felt like it was Doom Patrol through and through. Like, mm-hmm. where else would they fight a giant star but with a group of misfits on the right. Doom Patrol? I got the same vibe from Weasel. I thought Weasel, there were several of these things that felt like they belonged in a Doom Patrol comic slash movie slash TV show just because of the madcap. Yeah. I don't even if that's the right term. It just the wildness of the Doom Patrol. So I was just like, but with the humorous angle that they decided to take mm-hmm. with this movie, I felt like it fit. I was just kind of pretending that the Suicide Squad was kind of a Doom Patrol-esque
right.
convergence of heroes in quotation yeah. marks.
And I feel like, okay, so I talked to my stepdad about this the other day. He watched 10 minutes of it and turned it off. And he liked the first one a lot. And he and I more often than not agree on movies. And he texted me and he said, the Suicide Squad is so bad. And I said, what are you talking about? And then I found out that he only watched 10 minutes of it. And his granddaughter was in the room during that first 10 minutes. So he was constantly under this, oh my God, oh my, this isn't for kids. Well, okay, duh. Mm-hmm. Go watch this later. And then he went and rewatched later and he was like, okay, you were right. I was just panicking when my granddaughter was in the yeah. room. But he mentioned before that, before he watched it again, or even the first time, that he was very skeptical about the character choices. Like, and I feel like that could be a real issue for a lot of people that don't know the comics. And even if you do know the comics, I didn't know who Ratcatcher 2 and Polka Dot Man were. Mm-hmm. And those are two of the main characters in the whole story. And Ratcatcher, spoilers, saves the whole day. Is like the one that takes down this intergalactic space traveling starfish that's killing everybody. But so many people, I feel like, will hear that Ratcatcher 2 is a main character and go, what are you wasting yeah. your money on?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely felt like until we see Starro, mm-hmm. like, barreling through as big as Godzilla.
Right.
You're like, yeah, this is totally
very kaiju.
A very low, you know, B and C list character boss fight coming. Yeah. But as soon as he starts going through and he's like, just call Superman, you know, that's mm-hmm. what I'm thinking. Like, which I have a thought of, I think of stuff like that a lot at the time. So right. whenever you're watching these you know, lower tier mm-hmm. groups. But yeah, I don't know. I had to step back for a second because I was just like, all right, this is kind of an interesting choice. But then right. I stepped back and I was like, I'm here to have fun. I'm here to watch a story. And I'm pretty sure I've come across that hero at least being mentioned in comics in the past mm-hmm. or something of the like. So I was just like, okay, I mean, let's see where they push it. Because at that point I was envisioning him being, you know, human-sized.
Right.
Not building sized.
Yeah, like truly like kaiju Godzilla type thing. Yeah, I mean, they leaned into the, I guess, that there's power in numbers and in love, I guess. There's kind of a nice warm story throughout that they kind of pull on of Ratcatcher and her dad, played quite beautifully by Taika Waititi, I might add. It was a nice little moment there. And then they kind of use that as a device to make sure that Bloodsport and Ratcatcher kind of have a bonding thing. What do you think about Peacemaker?
Yeah, I didn't see the I don't know, the G-Man type of thing coming around and him mm-hmm. just being like, oh no, I'm here to protect America's image or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I guess it works out for it. He has, I mean, for better or worse, they kind of lean into what his thing is, and it's, he is Peacemaker. All he cares about is peace, even if he has to kill somebody for there to be peace maintained. And they leaned into that well, and I think they had such a fun time and at least have some more ideas with the character that James Gunn has confirmed, I think already wrapped filming for the Peacemaker series on HBO Max, which Should be fun. John Cena leaned into the role and had some good funny moments, and was a nice surprise anti-hero, at least, at the end of the film.
I really appreciated that scene where they pull into that rebel camp, mm-hmm. or whatever it is, and it turns out that those were the freedom fighters, and they had just decimated the entire army of them. Yeah. Oh God, I was just like, I didn't see that coming either.
Yeah.
Until they were sitting there talking, you know, Flag was drinking tea with the freedom fighter leader, and I was just like,
yeah, she's like, why didn't my men alarm me?
Oh no.
They're like, I didn't see anybody. Tori, what did you think overall? I mean, you have any thoughts on this?
I thought it was really enjoyable. It was a lot more watchable than the first Suicide Squad, I thought. A lot funnier.
Yeah.
A lot more cohesive.
That's a good way to put it, cohesive. Just, it seems like it's hard to, unless you just want to nitpick the story in general of like what type of story it is, like it just, it holds itself together pretty well.
I wonder
if
any of that had to do with the fact that as I was watching it, I wasn't even thinking of its place in the DC extended universe.
Right.
I was just watching it like, no, this is its own show. Whereas the first Suicide Squad movie, I was watching it and I was like, ooh, Batman's in here. He makes a cameo. And I was trying to see how it fits in. And so I wasn't even asking those questions this time around.
Yeah, so the first one, they have truly, like, a Ben Batfleck mm-hmm. comes in. Mm-hmm. We have the Flash, Ezra Miller comes into play that. I don't think we have, did Superman show up in that?
I don't remember, actually.
I don't think he did. I think just those two. But they, like, establish, I mean, even the Joker, who is a villain, but is like an A-tier or S-tier even villain. We don't have any of that in this. It's a passing mention of why Bloodsport is in prison is because he put Superman in the hospital with a kryptonite bullet.
Yeah, and that could, except for the fact that Harley Quinn is in here, and we've seen that she is in the universe with mm-hmm. Batfleck and that group. It could just be its own thing, and who knows? Maybe this is Christopher Reeve's Batman, or Superman.
Sure,
what did I just say?
We don't
Christopher
know,
Reeve's Batman.
We don't know what Earth this is, right? Like,
It could be a different take, a different multiverse.
I mean, DC's beat Marvel to the punch on playing with that toy as far as like, we're going to just bring everybody in for acknowledge this multiversal thing. So who knows? I tend to feel like it's in the same one.
Yeah, but you never know.
I heard rumors that they tried to get Will Smith to come back and he either couldn't or he didn't want to. I don't know. So then they got Idris Elba.
Did you guys know anything about Bloodsport before this? Because I actually didn't.
I knew nothing.
No, I didn't.
I knew barely anything about Deadshot.
I feel like I'd seen a Bloodsport comic or I'd seen him mentioned mm-hmm. in things, and I never even bothered to dig in to learn who this guy was.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because, again, like the most popular character far and away is Harley Quinn, mm-hmm. and she's only recently popular. I mean, unless you were a huge Batman animated series fan where she was created, mm-hmm. like Suicide Squad made her really popular. I mean, again, I think just the fact that it's Margot Robbie playing her is kind of the A-tier, S-tier mm-hmm. actress. But it's just interesting.
What'd you think of Bloodsport's Go-Go Gadget Transformer guns?
You know, I thought they were kind of cool. It was like one of the differentiating factors between him and Deadshot.
Deadshot seemed based in reality.
Right.
Bloodsport seemed built on super advanced tech that we haven't really even seen in the DC universe.
Yeah, they didn't really elaborate on that
much,
did they?
And even his mask. Yeah. It was like some of these things were more like Wakanda and Stark Tech level stuff.
I agree.
Like, because he had a little gun that was basically a little bit bigger than a set of brass knuckles.
Yeah.
And he would attach things to it, and they flip, and they expand their size. They, like, I'm just like, you took what amounted to something the size, if you put all of the pieces together, to the size of a 20-ounce bottle,
mm-hmm.
and it turns into something the size of a bazooka.
Right.
With
way more moving parts.
Yeah, and I was just like, all right. I mean, that was just one of those suspend your disbelief moments, and I was like, okay, cool, yeah. He has a lot of toys, A lot of fun stuff. But I was that did take me back for a second. Like, this just doesn't, based on the tech that we see everybody else using,
mm-hmm.
that's not like metahuman tech.
Right.
I'm just like, that took me back a second.
Yeah. I want to talk about our favorite scenes if you've thought of one. I don't know if this is my favorite, but this was a really cool one, at least, that kind of established Peacemaker, Bloodsport, and Rick Flag all as kind of like not only good at what they do, but also just like well-trained fighters. When they get captured at the club and they're in the truck, mm-hmm. and the three guards are in there sitting across from them, and they light a cigarette for Bloodsport, and he starts talking about Doombeck. I can't remember. I think Doombeck is a percussion instrument.
Yeah.
Basically, he's talking about this impossible one-touch kill thing, mm-hmm. and he says that as like a flag to the dude sitting next to him.
A flag to flag,
and to Peacemaker, and they just all catch on real quick. Like, oh, the guys that are disbelieving right across thing. Like, yeah, it's impossible. You can't do that. And then Flag says on one, or no, Peacemaker says on one, Flag says one, and they all do that, mm-hmm. this impossible move, like in the truck. And it was just a really cool moment, just to flex how trained they are.
Since you've seen it twice, do you have a scene that jumps out?
That I enjoyed?
Yeah.
I liked the running theme of Polka Dot Man's mother.
Oh, yeah. Those were good.
Oh, yeah. That was Polka Dot Man. I can't decide which was a more brave choice to bring into a movie. Not only is like they're here, but like very important characters to the film. Polka Dot Man or Rat Catcher 2. Mm-hmm. You know, one guy who literally throws interdimensional polka dots from his skin that melts through matter, it seems. I mean, that's kind of what it looks like. I have zero history reading that character in the DC universe.
Me too.
Or Rat Catcher 2. Not even Rat Catcher, you know? Like, that's already like a what? But then there's a second one that literally her power is to control rats.
Mm-hmm.
But they end up being like, aside from King Shark, like two of the strongest, most important ones in there, even though, spoilers, Polka Dot Man quickly dies after realizing he has the power to take down this kaiju star.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really, I guess, brave choice, or at least, I don't know.
Interesting. I think that they were working with their disposable characters to create this team, obviously.
Yeah, that's true. And then, I guess I also kind of like that they leaned into the Suicide Squad-ness of it. Like, a lot of the characters died throughout the whole film.
Like that very first scene. First of all, I was like, I don't recognize a lot of these from the promo material.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, whatever. Maybe I'm just misremembering. And then, boom, all but two of them die. Well, until the end. And
right. And
the weasel is apparently still alive.
Right.
But, like, they're all just, oh, okay, that's got, okay, we got shot in the face. We got detachable kid, you know, losing, getting killed or whatever. And then the dude with the javelin, you know, all this stuff. I was just like, I know who you were. And apparently that's okay.
Right. It was just an interesting choice, I think, for everything. But they made it work. I mean, after they kind of established these characters, you know, I'm curious, will we see the Rat Catcher 2 and Polka Dot Man get a Harley Quinnification comic book wise and suddenly become these very popular characters because of the movie, and now suddenly Polka Dot Man has an ongoing series?
Maybe.
I would absolutely check it out.
Yeah, I'm curious because I feel like I've heard of Polka Dot Man in the past. What I knew of him was not that his dots would eat through matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was always the case. I always imagined him just like his dots would cover you up and like essentially blind you.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking. And yeah. I may be pulling that literally out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it does seem it's a very destructive ability. Like I don't see how you could use that.
Maybe even underutilized.
If he had gone straight for the eyeball.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of, I guess, takes the place of, is it El Diablo in the first one? the guy who turns into who's like
I don't want to do this.
Right, he's like, I don't want to do this. Like, he's too powerful to just let it fly. And he decides to at the end, but it's not enough. Also, King Shark provided a lot of fun.
Yeah. And that was a comedic relief. That was a totally different take because I've seen a whole lot of King Shark on the Flash TV series.
I saw a GIF with him
all over the place.
Yeah, and it looks different too.
Yeah, he's a little different, and he's not dumb.
Right.
Like there's, and he's I remember him being. It seemed a whole lot easier for Flash to dupe. Though I mean that's Flash. It's not a bunch of military people. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know, but yeah, it was just like, well, that's a definitely different take. I wonder how well that would have worked in the Arrowverse.
Right.
With a slow-talking Sylvester Stallone.
That was the funny part. I couldn't stop thinking of Sylvester Stallone wearing some spectacles in a recording booth, just laughing like a dumb shark.
Friend.
Nom nom. Yeah. It was good. It was funny. It provided some nice comedic relief, but also, like, Waller stated over and over that he's the most powerful of all of you. And he seemed to be Hulk-esque as far as like super strength and nothing could really hurt him.
Bullets did nothing. The only thing we ever saw that actually kind of hurt him were those...
Oh yeah, those like sucker fish things.
That he thought were his friend.
That was kind of sad,
yeah,
isn't it?
It was, yeah. I've been trying to sit here and think of what my favorite scene was, and I really don't know. I think there's two for drastically different reasons.
Yeah.
One was the scene with King Shark where he makes the little peacemaker.
Oh yeah,
C4 or whatever. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And the other one I think might be the first, like the beach battle scene.
Oh, cool.
Just because it set the tone, it made me realize, oh okay, this is not a serious movie.
Yeah.
This is they're going to have some fun with it. I mean, at the moment, detachable kid. Or whatever, his arms came off and they looked exactly like whenever you take the arms off of action figures.
Yeah.
And they're just like floating forward and I'm like, and he's like slapping.
Yeah, it's not even, so there's, just to paint the picture of what he's talking about, there's this character called TDK and there's this whole bit in the beginning of what his name stands for. And he's like, it stands for me, it's my name. And it's just a stupid thing. But then when it comes time for him to use his powers, as Drew said, his arms detach and are floating in midair, and there's a bone sticking out of each side of him. Like, it's just like a human action figure. And then they very slowly kind of float over and just start kind of like not even punching or really hurting, like, more being
open
a nuisance.
Open hand. It's like
brother or sister slapping.
Like, I'm not touching you type thing.
And quickly they overcome that. They start shooting the arms.
They shoot the arms and he's like, oh God.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny that it was Nathan Fillion, you know, that was playing that character. I was like,
yeah.
All right. I wonder what that conversation was like. Hey, Nathan, we want you to be in the Suicide Squad for about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with, who's the SNL guy?
Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson plays...
Shot in the face.
I forget his name, too.
I can't remember. Off the Black...
Blackguard,
that's what it is, yeah. Which I feel like I've heard of him, and it may not be anything more than that. I've just heard of that character. But he is also the first one that dies on the beach after he betrayed everybody. And then you get a little flashback of him walking out of a bathroom with some toilet paper stuck to his shoe, and then that's it.
Yep.
Like, I wonder how much money he made for that scene. Like, doesn't seem like it could be much.
Yeah.
What else? It's a good movie. Like, you should absolutely watch it. Pending you can stomach, you know, violence and blood and bones breaking and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Lots of funny moments. I would argue solid character development within the confines of understanding that this is just like a day mission type thing.
And I did feel like, I don't know, I can't remember if there were any actual scenes like this in Birds of Prey, but that scene where Harley Quinn is like coming out and then she's shooting and stuff and the flower petals. I was going to say feathers. Yeah. And then birds are like flopping around, cartoon stuff.
Snow Whitey.
Yeah. I was just like, this feels familiar. I feel like maybe something like this was happened, or maybe it was just like, I can totally imagine her imagining this.
Yeah.
Seeing this happening as she's going through and just demolishing this line of forces.
Mm-hmm. I think a good thing to compare it to, though it's not a one for one, and this is nothing my stepdad said the other day. He was like, oh, it's kind of like Deadpool. And that's not an entirely wrong statement as far as just like the silliness of it all. It's not trying to take itself too seriously. And because of that, I feel like more of the audience is going to be able to actually sit back and enjoy it. Like, as soon as you kind of tell your audience, like, look what we're doing here, you know, just enjoy it. Don't sit here and try to connect every
like
dot.
Even with MODOK, like the TV show, you're just watching, you're like, yeah, this is silly. They're going to make some cuts, deep cuts, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy, have fun.
Yeah, and even so, with all that being said, like, there's still, in my opinion, a pretty solid story through line with some, you know, A and B plots underneath that to just develop the characters a little more long term. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit of a Harley Quinn extension as far as like her finding her independence. She like is about to marry one of the main villains in the thing, and then he starts talking about killing children, and she shoots him immediately just after she slept with him.
Can't believe there was a bullet in this gun.
Right. Yeah. So
that, which is what I think everybody that's watching was thinking that same thing. Like, what are the odds that there would have been a bullet in this ornamental gun?
Right. Just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's good. It's solid. I don't have much more to say. We got a few minutes.
I mean, I do think I'd watch it again at some point.
Yeah.
And probably try to convince Holly to watch it, though she'll probably just watch Twitch the whole time that it's on.
It's one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked it. Thank you for letting me come and watch it with you at your house.
Movie day.
Yeah.
Needs to be a thing more often. Any closing thoughts for you?
My hot take was that I did not like King Shark.
What?
I know.
What didn't you like?
I thought he was unbelievably dumb.
Yeah.
How
do you become that level of a threat?
Right.
And still be like that?
He also put together C4 and activated it and learned a little bit of Spanish, but he was also just dumb as a rock the whole time.
Yeah. I can buy it. I get it. I'm not mad at that take.
Yeah. I mean, it was fine. Small quibble.
Right.
It was very enjoyable.
Yeah. Overall, out of 10, what would you give it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm terrible at things like that.
I rated it an 8 out of 10.
I was thinking in that range.
On IMDb.
I'm going to say between a 7.5 to a 9, because depending on what scene I'm thinking of, like, I would, it's not like Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman 84, where I was like, yeah, I think I might watch that again. This time I was like, I would enjoy watching it again.
So you liked it more than Wonder Woman 84?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think so. Same.
8.5
for the tour.
So I was both
work on that name.
I was both the lowest score and the highest score.
Yeah.
Because of the spectrum.
Cool. Any closing thoughts? Anything else?
Go check it out. It's worth it. See it in the movie theater if you can, or if you feel safe. Or HBO Max if you've got it.
It's worth a watch.
If you can handle blood and guts.
And some language.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of language right there in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow.
You'll know quickly if it's not for you. Cool. Well, Drew, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me at Drew Morris Comp on Twitter, Drew Morris Composer elsewhere. Torrance?
Don't look for me. I will kill you if you follow me.
King Shark style. Wow. You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. You can find the two-man social accounts on everywhere at Two Man Comic Book Club, except for Twitter. It's just Two Man Comic Book.
With the number two.
With the number two on all of those. Like and subscribe on our YouTube channel.
Join our Discord.
Join the Discord.
Link in the description. Also, what did you think about it? Give us a call. Let us know on the Two Man Hotlines. 662-MAN-FAN-8. We're about to run out of time on these batteries and the cards, so
we'll see y'all next time.
Yeah, with more Mr. Miracle.
Bye! The Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our guy in the chair is Torrance Watkins. Logos and design work are by Tessa Price. Original theme music and compositions are by Drew Morris.
I never touched your knobs.
Don't touch my knobs without asking me.
But even so, yours sounds softer.
Softer, checking my knobs. Doctor. Don't touch those. Checking my knobs.
Okay.